Hi, I'm Susan Clark.
And I'm Chris Marie Campbell.
Welcome to the Beauty of Conflict podcast. Have you ever wanted to take some of what you've learned on the podcast to the next level? Well, check out our new step-by-step, easy-to-use team kit to get your team from avoiding conflict to discovering the beauty in conflict.
To learn more, go to www.thriveinc.com/team-kit. That's www.thriveinc.com/TEAMKIT.
Well, welcome. Today we have a special guest, Rhianne Milne, and she was selected as one of the top coaches to follow in 2022 by Wealth Insider Magazine and is also featured in Forbes Magazine. She's a certified global life, love, trauma, recovery, and mindset coach, a certified clinical trauma and addictions professional, a number one best-selling author, the host of her podcast called Lessons in Life and Love, and a licensed mental health counselor for over 22 years living in Florida. So welcome to our show today.
Hi.
I'm excited to talk to you about some of your thoughts and the ways that you work with trauma and love, life, and relationships. So you're here today. Where do you want to start? Like, I was fascinated by your idea of these 10 traumas, so we could start there and kind of identify them, because I think, and as you're listening to this, maybe you can recognize some, because a lot of times people get thrown off by the use of the word trauma if they don't have those kind of the big signature things you hear about, right?
So, yes, most people think trauma is a big event, you know, being in a car accident or something major happening in your childhood. However, we talk about little t traumas, those smaller but reoccurring emotional events that happen over and over and over again. And you'll hear about those in the top 10 traumas. I created the childhood trauma checklist in 2012, when I started doing my research on trying to understand what my ex-husband had. Really, I was a psychotherapist since year 2000, have a master's in applied clinical and counseling psychology, and opened my practice in year 2000. But at the time, my husband did something that sabotaged his entire life. His whole life was exploded. He got thrown out from his school. He ruined our relationship, which was a new marriage. He ran out of town. I mean, his whole life was shattered by his choices. And his last thing he said to me is, "Why do I sabotage everything I love?" And I said, "I don't know, but I have to figure it out, because I needed to know the answer so I could heal." Mm-hmm. And I went to 7 therapist friends of mine. No one knew who knew him, what was going on, why he had this secret life. It's kind of like that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Dr. Jekyll is outgoing and loving and everyone adores him. And Mr. Hyde is this horrible hidden personality type. And that's what I was looking at. Mm-hmm. So I needed to do the research to figure it out. And then I looked through my years of work, which was working with kids in traumas in this school from grades kindergarten all the way through college. I worked in a mental health unit with kids ages 5 through 19, and I worked in a drug and alcohol facility, 2 of them, one with women from the prison system and one for teenagers. So hearing all their stories, despite their age, their background, their culture, their race, you know, straight or LGBTQ, none of that mattered. These top 10 traumas kept coming up. So I made a diagnostic tool that my clients could easily say, "Oh, yes or no. Yes, I did experience that." Then I put the puzzle pieces together of why they're struggling as an adult in life, love, or business.
Okay.
All right. That's how the 10 traumas came about.
Wow. All right. Quite the journey through quite a broad spectrum of people. I like how it's, you know, not young or old, not, you know, not straight or gay, or, you know, like the whole range. So
that's right. Everyone. And this year, they actually said 100% of us are impacted by trauma, by childhood trauma. Well, when I did the research, it was 9 out of 10.
Yeah, so the reality of it is, we could talk about this later, but I always think of, all of us have trauma. It's a state of separation that occurs from, you know, which is going to occur one way or the other. I mean, it's pretty inherent in the natural world as well, especially in us human beings. So, tell me more about these 10 traumas you pinpointed.
Sure. I'll go into naming them. And before I do, I want to make sure our listeners understand this is not about blaming mom and dad at this stage of life. And it's not about feeling any guilt or shame around these, because if these occurred for you, the research shows it goes through at least 3 generations. So mom and dad had the trauma, grandparents had trauma, and your parents loved you and did the best that they knew how. So that I just want to preface.
Okay.
So trauma number one is if there was any addiction in the family. And being an addictions counselor, I named 12 of them. So there's drugs or alcohol, sex, meaning you knew your parent was a cheater. You might have had to hold that secret. Porn use, gambling, hoarding, spending, eating, gaming, TV watching, workaholism, and computer or machine use. So those are our 12 addictions that can often come before raising your kids. Okay, trauma two is verbal messaging. So how did your parents talk to one another during an issue? Did they yell and scream? Did they yell at you? Did you hear, you know, compliments in the words, I love you? Or was that absent from your life? Instead, you might have heard verbal put downs or slurs like change your outfit. You look fat in that, you know, things like that, or you'll never amount to anything. If you see that sometimes come out. So verbal messaging is extremely important. Number three is emotional abuse and neglect. Number four is any physical abuse, rape, or molestation. And these could have happened again inside or outside of the home, on the school property, or anywhere. The next one, trauma five, is around abandonment. And there's two types. There's fault and no fault abandonment. So a no fault abandonment would be like if a parent happened to die early, or your parent had to go off to serve your country in war, or your parent traveled a lot to earn the money that supported the family. Those are all no fault reasons for abandonment. Fault abandonment would be never being involved with your child's life. You're involved for a period of time, and then the couple breaks up, and then you rarely see your child. Or third, you're there physically, but you're not emotionally connected to your kids. You're not talking to them. You're not going to their school events. So we call that an emotional abandonment. Mm-hmm. The next one, number six, would be if you were part of the foster care system, you were adopted, or you had to go live in another person's home because your parents couldn't keep you there at theirs. Even if it's a grandparent or an aunt, you're still being displaced from your parents. Mm-hmm. Trauma number seven is the one most people identify with. We call that personal trauma. So that is if you felt like you didn't fit in or you didn't feel good enough. So you could have been born with a medical condition. You could have been diagnosed ADHD in the schools and felt different for that. You could have been a chubby child or skinny and gawky and teased about that. You could have been gay or lesbian trying to come out, and your peers or your family would not accept who you felt you were. You could have been the only African-American in an all Caucasian school. So many people can relate to trauma number seven. Trauma eight is around siblings. So your sibling could have been born with a medical issue, commanding more in mom's and dad's time. It could be that your sibling bullied you and was mean to you the whole time you're growing up. Most often, people identify with this one as you had a sibling who was the golden child, the favored one, the star athlete, the more handsome or beautiful, or the smarter one, and you were always compared to them and felt you couldn't measure up. Trauma nine has two areas, community and family trauma. So community trauma, we're all going through right now with the COVID pandemic. Everyone around the world is impacted by this in some way. Community traumas also are floods, fires, hurricanes, tornadoes, our mass shootings, our school shootings. That's anything that impacts the large community. And then family trauma, usually when there's a community trauma, impacts the family. But it also could be if a parent was incarcerated, if you grew up in a dangerous area, you did a lot of moves. So as a child, you're put in this school as the new kid all the time. Or you grew up with a lot of lack messages. We don't have enough money for this. Don't ask me for anything. You heard that quite a lot. And then trauma 10 is mental health illness or mom or dad, with the two most common, bipolar and borderline, being the most difficult. Borderline personality means erratic moods, fast trigger anger. When they get mad, nobody else would get mad over a situation. But when they're good, they're great. When they're bad, they're horrid. And you never know what you're going to get. And that leaves a child in a state of constant anxiety. And bipolar can come out manic depression. Depression can show up as anger, checking out emotionally, or extreme fatigue. And a manic phase could be a high and happy phase, but it's often tied to an addiction like a drinking spree, a gambling binge, or a spending spree. So those are the top 10. There are more, but those are the top 10. And then I assess with my client, how severe was that for them from a 1 to 10 scale? So once we break that down, I start putting the pieces together for them.
Okay. All right. I mean, you know, it's interesting, this idea that, so let's just say I take the trauma test and, you know, I was, could go through and probably had, actually, there are a number of them other than foster care, probably almost all of them have some element in my world. Now, okay. Obviously, though, the question would be like, because, you know, there's this whole idea that, yes, I could look back and say, yeah, I definitely have, could identify as a PTSD or this or that, you know, various things. And how do you assess helping someone not just over-identify? Because really, you know, that probably doesn't help too much. But what to begin to do to sort of work on these so that they can shift them in their life, love, and relationships?
Yes, that's exactly what we do. We take it from the unconscious norms or behavioral patterns that they grew up and said, this is normal to yell and scream at each other when we want something or we're mad at you. All right, that's a norm. So that would be, we look at what's not working with them in their adult lives. So one thing is relationship repetition syndrome. So that could be choosing a toxic partner over and over and over again, and you can't figure out why. It also can be a part of somebody consciously saying, this partner's not right for me consciously, but boy, do I miss them. And maybe they'll try better. And they apologize. You take them back, you break up again. And that pattern of breaking up and back, going back together lasts an average of 7 times, according to the research. So when you have that situation, that's when the unconscious craving for love is stronger than the conscious awareness of this partner is not good for me. And that comes usually from an abandonment situation. So I have to see what's troubling my client right now in their life. And then when I see what's the childhood patterns they've come from, you know, then I can understand it. Now, for example, I had a couple in my office. The man was from the Midwest. The woman was from South Philly. I'm from Philadelphia. So I have a lot of South Philly Italian friends who are very expressive. And we always talk with our hands and very animated and we can get loud. Well, her pattern growing up in her Italian family is they yell at each other all the time. Mm-hmm. So I ask, why are you here? And he goes, I can't stand it. She yells at me all the time. And she says, what do you mean I yell at you? I never yell at you. And I said, you don't see it, do you? You don't hear it. Because it was so normalized for her, you right. see. And he came from a very laid back farm family. So that's why they kept getting into these constant fights. And then he would just shut down because he's not used to yelling and she'd yell at him more. Mm-hmm. So that's why the norms can get in the way and sabotage the love you really want.
So in that scenario with that couple, how did you help them? Because obviously she's not necessarily going to, I mean, if you come from a yelling family, you may or may not, and she doesn't even know it, she may choose not to stop the yelling.
No, she did very well. I teach a brand new set of communication skills for my couples. So they usually have this cycle of emotional triggers where they keep triggering each other. So I have to do the childhood trauma list for partner A, for partner B, see where their emotional triggers are, explain it to each other, and then they have a whole new way of communicating around it. If you'd like, I can give you an example.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's say a husband is off at work. He hears from his boss he didn't do something right, and he was conflicted, but he pushed through and finished the project. And the boss has said, this is a mess. You can't do anything right. And this man is triggered because his father said as a kid, you're a mess. You can't do anything right. So now he's screaming home in his car. He's upset where he's going to lose his job. He comes in. He's nasty to the wife. The wife, who had a demanding, angry father, is like, oh, my God, what I do now? So now she's upset and he's upset. So instead of talking about what happened because he's ashamed, she takes it personally. He picks a fight so he can go into his office and be by himself. So that's their pattern. Okay. What I have to do is teach him to say, come home and say, she'd say, how's your day? And he goes, well, it was pretty rough. I had an emotional trigger today. I pushed through a project. I wasn't sure what I was doing. Instead of asking for help, I should have known that, you know, I needed help on it. And he said this to me, which triggered me to the messages my father used to say. So I know I just came home really feeling dejected. Mm-hmm. Now she knows it's not about her. She would say, oh my God, I'm really sorry. You know, maybe if you want, we'll brainstorm, you know, what you could do better or what you think you can do to fix this with him. Right. So now they're working as a team. I teach team language and that it's not blaming each other. It's nobody's fault. And this can be learned in the corporate workspace. This can be learned between parent and child, between friends. So when my people come to me, they learn a whole different set of communication.
Well, it actually sounds I realize you probably specialize in a particular form of it, but it does sound very similar to the idea that anytime someone is emotionally triggered, if they can become aware of what their triggers are, you're suggesting in communication is pretty much being able to bring that awareness into the situation, identify it, own the trigger, so correct, that whoever you're relating with can then hear that and understand, one, whatever's coming at them may not have anything to do with
not them. About them, yeah,
and, you know, and then be able to respond in a way that is not simply a reaction from their own trigger, which
exactly
which is I think is one incredibly helpful in a intimate relationship, but also in a business context as well. It's kind of that idea, you have to know yourself well enough and know how your triggers show up so that you can then be able to let somebody else know.
And most of them are very unconscious. That's why people say, let's say they had an alcoholic father and they're like, I'll never make sure I have an alcoholic husband. But then they choose someone that has a pot addiction or is addiction to gambling.
Yes.
So yes, it's still the same personality type. And they're like, why do I keep choosing the same type of person? Well, the brain likes homeostasis. It likes what it knows. It likes what it's comfortable with. So when people fall in love with chemistry, it's one of the hardest things, probably the worst things you can do. Yes, there has to be an attraction factor. But when you fall in love fast and furious and only by chemistry, the research shows the problems start showing up between 4 months and 9 months, or as soon as there's some kind of a commitment. So saying we're committed, living together, getting engaged, getting married, having a child. This is when things can start really spiraling for the couple. And you have to be careful because people of trauma attract people of trauma. Mm-hmm. And when there's a lack of love that you might have grown up with and you're love bombed, you would say, oh my God, this person's perfect. This is exactly what it should feel like. And then later, this person's controlling you. Well, where are you going? Why are you wearing that out? You know, so there's other things that show up in relationships, like control and jealousy. That comes from trauma number 7, not feeling good enough. Or there's verbal messages from trauma 2, being very impulsive. That could grow up with not having much. And then you succeed in business. It's like, you know, I'm not even talking to her about the sports car. I'm going to go get it anyway because I want it. You know, I deserve to have it. Right. So that impulsivity, people pleasing is usually from a very critical parent or an alcoholic parent, demanding, authoritarian parent. So you try to really please them just to calm them down, not get them mad or not get severely punished. And again, that abandonment issue leads to codependency, love addiction, or RRS, perfectionism, needing your environment to be perfect, in shape. That can work out well in the workplace, but if you're perfectionistic and controlling to your partner, it usually erodes the relationships.
Honestly, I don't know that I think it actually works out any better in business, but I hear you. Yeah. It may be a little, but often the same kind of patterns show up in the workplace that show up in couples only.
Exactly.
And sometimes
the real troubled employee who might have a temper tantrum because he didn't win the sales quota that month. Right. Just any erratic personal behavior. Right. I mean, definitely what happens at work comes home and what happens at home comes into work.
Sure.
So when our leaders and, you know, corporate people understand childhood trauma, you can kind of spot it and have a conversation about that instead of like yelling in general, what's the matter with you? Having a calm conversation like, what are you getting upset about? Do you want to talk about that? This is deeper than you didn't make the sales quota this month. What's going on for you? Mm-hmm. You know, and just asking about it when you know what the 10 traumas are. And it helps with calming a lot of conflict because now you're coming from an empathetic place. Like, there's something more going on. Is everything okay with your wife and kids? Or, you know, is there something else? You know, he could say, my mom is sick and I've had hospital bills and I'm freaking out because, you know, now you get to the deeper issue. Mm-hmm. So we want to try to lead with more empathy and understanding when something is going on. And it's usually, again, around an emotional trigger when you have a difficult employee.
Right. You know, I was thinking about this in terms of, you know, currently in our culture, you know, we're dealing a lot with things that have come up over the past years around social justice, around right. big issues that where one whole set of a community has good reasons to be angry and upset about longstanding issues of systemic racism, all sorts of things.
Yes.
And, you know, the challenge sometimes is how to be able to have those conversations around something that is genuinely the, even if it wasn't the, you know, the person involved hearing it in the workplace had nothing to do with that. It's a systemic issue. So did
yes.
you address that, or do you talk about that in, you know, the work that you do currently?
Yes. I mean, I have people that are being, you know, forced with vaccine mandates.
Yes.
This is huge. And I just got done listening to a tape from Ron DeSantis. And luckily, he's does not want anyone fired for being forced, you know, to take a vaccine. So it takes us to go to our political leaders in something like this, because we're one voice. So how many voices can you get? You know, another philosophy is, you know, you just refuse. And if you're not happy with what they're mandating, you're going to have to leave the workplace and find something else. It's a horrible time right now with conflicts systemically, for sure, in so many different areas. The best you can do is keep peace within yourself. Within your home, surround yourself with happy, good people who you love and trust. Do have gratitude for what you do have. Have control over what you can control, and what you can't control, you can't get upset about that every day, because, you know, what can we do but try to create our lives and our environment to be happy, right? We have to really watch for our children as well. You
Although
know, so if you're coming home angry about
understanding
things.
Understanding your position, which I actually like, is this idea that we aren't going to be able to always surround ourselves with the people we love and like if we are going to actually heal some of the differences that we have. So
right.
on some level, though, I think, you know, I would tend to go with, you know, thinking that remembering that we are all in different ways have experienced trauma. It's, you know, some more extreme than others. But if we can recognize and identify our own situations of separation and the pain associated with that, we could build on our ability to have empathy for someone who has a different
Correct.
Historical position. And remembering that would seem to me to be the most important thing.
Well, the way I describe it is feelings are real to the person that owns that feelings, but it doesn't mean it's a fact,
right?
So you have to listen to those feelings and know this is super important to that person, whether you see it their way or not. But you have to acknowledge that feeling. And then, you know, you share your feelings. And then if it's a couple or two people, then negotiate a win-win. What can we do? Okay, you see it this way, and I totally acknowledge how you're seeing it that way, but I see it that way. So how can we negotiate through this so we both can win?
Right.
And sometimes it's like, it's okay to disagree. That's it. Sometimes that's the answer.
You need to get to is we're going to not be able to agree on this right now. We may have to come back and kind of continue to have to get to something new. We have to continue to have the conversation that if it's something that's that important to each of us, I don't know if compromise works if it's a high value situation. However, if you can kind of keep coming back to it, you may come up with something that you never thought was possible if you're able to listen. And
right. And it's a respect that everyone owns their own opinion. You're allowed to have it and be different than your partners.
You know?
It's okay. You know, hon, totally, you know, do that. Vote for President A, you should, because you really believe in that. I'm going to vote for the person I believe in, and let's just call it a day. You know, the trying to force your partner to do one or the other thing can be very destructive. That's all about control.
Right.
And control comes from having a chaotic household and feeling that you had no control as a child.
Sure.
That's where that comes from.
So I hope our listeners are kind of listening to this and thinking of their own situations of where trauma may have occurred and what they can do to begin to become more aware of that and work with that differently. It sounds like that's important. How can people find you? And if they are interested in, it sounds like your test is online. I think I saw that.
Yes, that's correct, Susan. Okay. So you go to my website, it's my name, RiannaMilne.com. And there's 4 free love tests for both singles and couples. There is a free ebook called Have the Love You Deserve right on the homepage. And my 2 books, Live and Love Beyond Your Dreams. Love Beyond Your Dreams is the number 1 bestseller on having emotionally healthy, evolved, and conscious relationships. And Live Beyond Your Dreams is about the mindset for success, going from unconscious to full conscious awareness. So they are meant to go together. And the first 60 pages are free on the books tab. And then my podcast is called Lessons in Life and Love with Coach Rihanna Milne. I think I have 250 videos and audios now on my YouTube channel, Rihanna Milne. So enjoy all those free resources.
Okay, that's great. So you know where to find her. This will also be in the show notes. So if you didn't catch that and write it down quickly, that's where you can go. And I found this fascinating to kind of identify the trauma, the 10 different traumas and the different ways of thinking about how to work with that in your relationship versus just staying traumatized in an old repetitive pattern. So
yeah, the good news is, Susan, this can be healed. It does take about 4 to 6 months of intensive work, learning a lot of new skills. So coaching for me is education, teaching them to use these skills over and over again to break the old patterns.
Sure. Yes. Because no doubt sometimes we are unconscious about them and we keep doing them in spite of the pain that we may be creating for ourselves. So, all right. The work is worth it for sure.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. We hope you found today's episode valuable. We know you're busy and we want to make it easy for you to understand how conflict may be showing up in a way that's impacting your team negatively. We recorded the first 3 chapters of our book for you to listen to for free.
Get your free audio sample at thriveinc.com/free sample. That's thriveinc.com/FREESAMPLE.